Welcome to another deep dive. This time, we're looking at a legal case that'll make you think about negligence, especially if you work with professional drivers. Picture this. A U-turn goes wrong on the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Oh, sounds messy.
Oh, it is. Multiple vehicles are involved, jackknife truck. It's just chaos.
Yikes.
And it's not some, you know, crazy scenario. It's the kind of thing that, well, could happen to anyone.
Yeah, for sure. It happens every day. So what case are we diving into?
This one's called Fredericks v. Kistora from 1976.
Okay, got it. Fredericks v. Kistora. And why is this one so interesting?
Well, it really makes us think about some big legal ideas like what's the standard of care and what about this sudden emergency thing? Like, how do courts decide who's at fault when something unexpected happens, you know?
Yeah, it makes you think. How do they figure out who to blame when it's like a chain reaction?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So to really understand, we need to go back to what actually happened. Can you set the scene for us?
Okay, sure. So it's January 24th, 1968. Cold day in Pennsylvania. We're on the turnpike.
Got it. Pennsylvania turnpike. Classic.
Right. And we've got a turnpike commission vehicle.
One of their own vehicles.
Yeah, driven by this guy, Donald Terwilliger. He's on the shoulder trying to make a U-turn.
Ah, so that's where it starts.
You got it. Picture him trying to squeeze through a gap in those divider fences.
Oh, I can see it now.
But as he's crossing the eastbound lanes, bam. He gets hit by a truck.
And that truck driver is?
Charles Kistora.
Okay, so we've got a collision already. But you said multiple vehicles.
Oh, it gets worse. Another truck driver, this guy, Melvin Whiteacre, sees the crash happening.
Oh, no.
Right. He swerves to avoid it.
Smart move.
Well, it causes his truck to jackknife.
Whoa. Jackknife truck on the turnpike. That's terrifying.
Total chaos. And to make matters worse, there's a passenger in that turnpike commission vehicle.
Oh, man.
Yeah, his name's Thomas Fredericks, and he gets seriously hurt.
So what happens next?
Lawsuit time. Frederick sues all three drivers.
All three, huh? So everyone's pointing fingers at everyone else?
Exactly. It's a blame game. But here's the twist.
I'm listening.
The jury only found Terwilliger, the guy making the U-turn, liable.
Wait, what? So the truck drivers were totally off the hook.
You got it.
That seems, I don't know, kind of wrong. I mean, they're professional drivers. You'd think they'd have some responsibility.
Well, Frederick saw so, too. He appealed the verdict. And that's where the legal stuff gets really interesting.
Okay, so what were the issues on appeal?
Basically, there were three big questions they had to grapple with.
Lay them on me.
First one, do truck drivers have a higher standard of care just because they're professionals?
I mean, that makes sense, right? More experience, more training.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? But let's see what the court had to say about that. Yeah, so this idea that professional drivers should be held to a higher standard, well, the court actually disagreed.
Huh, really? Why is that? They're the pros, right?
Well, yeah, but the court wanted to keep things simple, you know? One standard of care for all drivers, no matter what.
So everyone's on the same playing field, legally speaking.
Exactly. They even said care doesn't increase or diminish just by calling it names, you know?
Catchy. I like that. So basically, being a professional driver doesn't automatically make you more responsible in the eyes of the law.
Exactly. But hold on, because it gets even trickier. Remember those truck drivers? They had to react super fast to this whole U-turn situation.
Oh, yeah. Split-second decisions. That brings us to the second big question, right? This whole sudden emergency thing.
And got it. The court knew that those truck drivers were thrown into a dangerous situation, something they couldn't have, like, predicted.
So it's like you can't hold them to the same standard as if they had all the time in the world to react.
Exactly. And this sudden emergency idea, it's not just some old legal thing. It pops up all the time in accident cases, even today.
Wow, I bet. So how does it actually work? Like, legally speaking, what's the sudden emergency defense?
Basically, it says you can't expect someone to act perfectly when they're facing, like, immediate danger. Imagine you're cruising down the road and a kid darts out in front of you.
Oh, man, every driver's nightmare.
Right. You slam on the brakes, maybe swerve.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, you're not thinking about every little traffic rule.
No way. You're just trying to avoid disaster. Pure instinct.
Exactly. And the law gets that. Yeah. It says, hey, in those crazy situations, we can't expect perfect driving.
See, like, they understand that human beings don't always have time to think things through when there's danger. Makes sense to me.
So, back to our case. The court basically said, look, those truck drivers might not have known that U-turn was coming, but...
But their actions still had to play a big part in the accident for them to be held responsible, right?
Exactly. It's all about this idea of proximate cause. Like, was their actions a direct link in the chain of events that led to the crash?
Okay, I think I'm getting it. So the court had to figure out if the truck driver's actions were a direct result of that U-turn or not.
Right. They said, sure, the U-turn might not have been foreseeable, but the guy making the U-turn, that was the real cause of the accident.
Like, he set the whole thing in motion. Exactly. So you can see how the court's trying to balance things. Like, accidents happen, they're messy, they're unpredictable.
But at the same time, someone's got to be held accountable.
Right. And this case is a perfect example of how complicated that can be.
No kidding. So we've talked about professional driver standards, sudden emergencies. What was that third big question the appeal focused on?
That one gets a bit technical. Remember how the judge explained that sudden emergency thing to the jury?
Uh-huh.
Well, Fredericks, the injured passenger, he argued that those instructions weren't clear enough.
Oh, interesting. So it's not just about the law itself. It's also about how it's explained to the people deciding the case.
Bingo. You could have a slam dunk legal argument, but if the jury's confused, well, you're in trouble.
That makes total sense. So did the appeals court agree with Fredericks? Did they think those instructions were messed up?
They said the instructions weren't perfect, but they didn't think they were bad enough to throw out the whole verdict.
So it wasn't a clear win for either side on that issue.
Nope. They looked at everything, all the evidence, and said, well, in the grand scheme of things, those instructions didn't really change things.
So the court's really focused on making sure the trial was fair, even if there were some, you know, bumps along the way.
Exactly. And it makes you think, right? The lawyer's job is so crucial in these cases. They have to make sure the judge and jury get it, understand the law, and how it applies to the facts.
Makes me appreciate good lawyers even more.
Me too. So we've covered a lot of ground. Standards of care, sudden emergencies, jury instructions. But there's still one piece we haven't talked about.
Oh, yeah. You mean that moment when Castora, the truck driver, brought up the death of his child? That was heavy stuff.
Definitely. It raises some tough questions about, you know, emotions in the courtroom. How do you balance a fair trial with real-life tragedies?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Let's dive into that next. Okay, so that moment in the trial when Castora talked about his child's death, that had to be a tough one for the court to handle.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you don't want to, like, completely shut down any talk about personal stuff in court.
Right.
These are real people with real problems.
Yeah, for sure. But it seems like it could really influence a jury, you know, sway their emotions.
Exactly. It's a balancing act. The court's got to protect the fairness of the trial, but also, you know, acknowledge that life happens.
So how do they decide if Castora's statement was, like, over the line or not?
Well, they looked really closely at what the judge did right after. Remember, the judge told the jury to just ignore that comment about his child.
Ah, right. Like, that's not evidence, folks. Move along.
Exactly. And the appeals court, they said that was enough. That quick action by the judge neutralized any potential bias.
So they're basically putting a lot of faith in the judge to, like, steer the jury in the right direction.
Exactly. The appeals court really emphasized that trial judges have a huge responsibility to keep things fair. They're like, you know, the referees of the courtroom.
Right, making sure everyone plays by the rules.
No, exactly. They got to watch out for anything that could give one side an unfair advantage.
Makes you think, what if Fristris' lawyer had, you know, objected right when Castora said that?
Oh, interesting point. Yeah, if the lawyer had jumped in right away, the judge might have had to make a bigger decision, you know, maybe even erase the comment from the record completely.
Huh. So even those little things, those procedural moves, can really change the whole outcome of a case.
Absolutely. It shows how important it is to have a good lawyer, someone who knows the rules and when to use them.
Totally. Okay, so we've covered so much with this case. It's been a whirlwind of legal concepts.
Yeah, we've gone from negligence and standards of care to sudden emergencies, jury instructions, even emotions in the courtroom.
Phew. My brain is full.
Mine too. But hey, it's good to stretch those legal muscles. So for our listeners, let's do a quick recap of the key takeaways from Fredericks v. Castora.
Sounds good. Hit us with the knowledge.
All right, so first up, professional drivers, at least in Pennsylvania, they're not held to some, like, super high standard of care.
Right. Just because you drive for a living doesn't mean you're automatically more responsible in the eyes of the law.
Exactly. Number two, this sudden emergency doctrine, it's a big deal. The law gets that people don't always have time to think things through when there's danger.
And that's probably going to become even more important with, you know, self-driving cars and all that.
Oh, for sure. A whole new world of legal questions there. But We'll save that for another deep dive.
Definitely. Okay, what was that third takeaway?
Yes, the judge's role. They are crucial for a fair trial. They give instructions to the jury. They handle tricky stuff like that emotional testimony. It's a tough job.
They're like the guardians of justice in the courtroom, making sure everything's on the up and up.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, this case was fascinating. It started as a simple car accident, but we uncovered so much more.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. You never know what you'll find.
So true. And it reminds us that every case is unique. Every legal situation has its own twists and turns.
And that's what keeps things interesting, right?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining me on this deep dive. I always enjoy our conversations.
Me too. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. We hope you learned something new today, maybe even had a few aha moments along the way. Keep those legal minds sharp, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.